الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على
محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين. Monday the 11th of September 2000. We had started with آيات الكرسي. And just to explain, or just to give a brief as to what we were doing and what we are planning to do. We started with the word Allah to try and understand what is called in Arabic Lafzul Jalala, and that Ismul A'zam, the grandest name of Allah, is in actual fact the name Allah. We then went on to see La ilaha illahu as to what it stands for, whether it is negating the existence of other gods and proving the oneness of God, or whether it is a statement proving the existence of God. Then of course we talked of a part of khutbah of Imam Ali al-Islam where he explained tawheed, the sifat of Allah, which we said this time we'll study that together as we study more about Allah, bearing in mind that this verse is, according to many ahadith, the leader of all verses in the Holy Quran. Sayyidul Ayat, right? So the leader of all verses in the Holy Quran, for it explains the concept of Tawheed. And today we'll study that part of Nahjul Balagha in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tried to explain, in which Imam Ali al-Islam, has tried to explain the unity or the oneness of God, of Allah, in his own way, which by far outsmarts, or rather outshines, any other philosophic way. Philosophers have tried to explain Allah. And as we go on, if you remember last time, we were discussing that Allah is one, not as in a unit that can be multiplied, okay, this is two and three, but Allah is one, that one is a unique kind of one that can take no parts nor multiples. And you remember the difference between Ahad and Wahid. Ahad is that one which does not have parts in it. Wahid is that one which cannot take on second or third. Now, I don't know if you brought Nahjul Balagha with you. I know not everybody has a translation of Nahjul Balagha with you, but Nahjul Balagha, the first khutbah in which he describes, in which Imam Ali al-Islam describes Allah. I'll just read that small passage that we were trying to do last time before we carry on this time. فَمَنْ وَصَفَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ. These are the words of Imam Ali al-Islam. فَمَنْ وَصَفَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ فَقَدْ قَرَنَا. Whoever describes Allah. وَصَفَ is from the word sifat. Whoever gives Allah any kind of sifat, فَقَدْ قَرَنَهُ, then he has compared him to something. You see what that means? Ayatullah Tabatabai in his Tafsir al-Mizan, I think it's volume 6, where he has dedicated something like 35 pages just on Tawheed. And in that he says that, remember, one very important verse of the Holy Quran, whenever you want to think about Allah, and that is, Laysa kamithlihi shay'. There is nothing like him. Whatever you talk about, these are sifat of rahmah, of merciful, of compassion, of rizq, of khalq, of whatever you talk about Allah, you are attributing that particular action to him, when just so that it can enter our comprehension, we can understand. As far as he is concerned, there is nothing like him. Right? That is why Imam Ali al-Islam says, فَمَنْ وَصَفَهُ فَقَدْ قَرَنَهُ. True, we can only understand him by describing him, by giving attributes to him. But remember, that is for our comprehension, he is far beyond what we comprehend. And if we are to take only, for example, his kindness or his mercy as what we understand of mercy, then we have not understood him. For his mercy surpasses all our comprehension of mercy. Right? So we cannot restrict ourselves to understanding Allah by the attribute we have attributed to him, or he has attributed to him. We cannot do that. فَقَدْ قَرَنَا فَمَنْ وَصَفَ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ فَقَدْ قَرَنَا وَمَنْ قَرَنَهُ فَقَدْ ثَنَّاهُ. And whoever has compared him to something, therefore has made him dual, meaning that there is something else like him. Right? وَمَنْ ثَنَّاهُ فَقَدْ جَزَّأَهُ. And somebody who has made something possible on the earth to exist like him, therefore has actually divided. You see, take the example of mercy. Let's stick to mercy. If we restrict and confine and say, okay, Allah is merciful like something, or somebody, or some power, you know. Therefore, we have made it two, first of all. Number one. Number two, we have divided the very fabric of mercy into saying Allah has so much and some other has so much. When Allah has non-ending mercy, infinite. That is why Imam Ali al-Islam says, فَمَنْ ثَنَّاهُ فَقَدْ جَزَّأَهُ. You divide that attribute when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the absolute. He has that attribute in his entirety, infinite. Right? وَمَنْ جَزَّأَهُ فَقَدْ جَهِلَهُ. Whoever has divided that attribute, you may have 99% for one and 1% for some other power, then you are actually ignorant of him. You have not understood him. فَمَنْ جَهَلَهُ فَقَدْ أَشَارَ إِلَيْهِ. And whoever is ignorant of him will have pointed to him. Say, ah, that's it. Because now you have confined him. مَنْ أَشَارَ إِلَيْهِ فَقَدْ حَدَّهُ وَمَنْ حَدَّهُ فَقَدْ عَدَّهُ. That was the point we were making last time. Okay, whoever has confined him, therefore has now counted him. Because by confining him, you are marking an end to something. And by marking an end to something, you are now calling it one with an ending. And there can be a two, where a two can begin. Whereas with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no ending of any kind. Of any kind.
Only he drafted and redrafted his speech.
This was impulsive, like you say, you know.
Extempore was given. Actually, I think it was given in reply to somebody who said, "Ke khuda kuch."
Huh?
I understand one thing. No, that was the conclusion is that you have counted him. Okay. But that conclusion, during his logic, could have been used 3 steps earlier. Not at this step. 3 steps earlier, you could have said the same thing. Because when you said, when you compare something to something like him,
وَمَنْتَنَّاهُ فَقَدْ جَزَّأَهُ.
But then you've already, at that stage, you've already numbered him.
Yeah.
So why do we have to go to 3 other stages to number him?
Jaza'ahu here means that what you have done, as Mustafa said, is you have now said that somebody else also partakes.
So you've divided it.
If you have divided that attribute.
That's what jaza means, right?
So you said that mother is merciful, God's merciful. But the truth is that there's the two different rules.
No, I agree,
right?
But at the conclusion there is already that you've numbered him. Why are we going to 3 other stages?
No, you've not numbered him, because at that point you are saying only that this attribute is not his alone. Mm-hmm. But it's like somebody else, other power that you know. Right? And that at that time when you've done that, then you have shown your ignorance of him. Whoever's done that has not understood him at all. And then whoever hasn't understood him starts pointing at him. He said, that's God. And whoever now points at him obviously confines him. And whoever confines him now can count him.
Okay, because you could reach the confining right from that first place. You could say, well, now you're confining him. You're putting a boundary by putting something else.
You don't put a boundary. You're just saying, you are making a division. You're saying that somebody else also has that attribute and he's sharing it. But not how exactly he's sharing it.
Just to clarify,
I think he's making it more clear. Yeah. Right? I see what his point is. Okay, by you already saying that something like that can exist, you're already confining it straight up. But Imam Ali al-Islam does not say this is confining.
Right?
He brings about the conclusion after taking it through several processes. Before he brings about the same conclusion that, like you say, could have come from the first part of the sermon, right? Imam Ali al-Islam's words.
وَمَنْ
حَدَّهُ فَقَدْ عَدَّهُ فَتِشَيْهُ وَمَنْ قَالَ فِي مَا فَقَدْ ضَمَّنَهُ وَمَنْ قَالَ عَلَى مَا إِيَا مَا وَسَمْجَوْنَشُ. Yeah, so the process might have been to clarify the concept, and even in spite of clarifying it, you know, repeating that. Let's say it is for rhetoric, repeat, right? Despite that, not only the Arabs at that time, Ayatollah Tabatabai and the contemporary philosophers are convinced that up to 1,000 years after Imam Ali Islam, this khutbah, up to 1,000 years, people could not comprehend the concept of that unique oneness that cannot take multiplicity.
And also, how do you reach the conclusion from ignorance to pointing? I mean, is that like a necessary conclusion? Every ignorant person must point to our...
With relation to Allah?
No, from this here. And if those who are ignorant of him point to him?
No, ignorant is somebody who has not understood it. فَقَدْ جَهِلَهُ. فَقَدْ جَهِلَهُ, that means someone who has not understood him, as in ignorant of him, right? And those who have not understood him will point to him. Right? That is a direct consequence of them not knowing him, not understanding him. They will then point to him, and whoever points to him will have confiding.
Is that talking about idolatry? Is that pointing? Are we talking about, because that's what it...
That is pointing to Allah.
Yeah.
This is talking about Allah, right?
So they're talking about these people now are committing idolatry. These are the people who then create idols to make a physical...
True. By pointing to one particular attribute of Allah and saying, now this is fixed.
That's the
philosophical concept that Ayatollah Tabatabai derives from this. Okay, these people could not comprehend that these attributes are all in one and one in all. They could not simply understand that wahda of Allah is wahda la adadiya, that means not so many wahda. It's just one, unique one. The point that comes after that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in another khutbah, I couldn't find it, I tried to go through many khutbahs. In another khutbah, Imam Ali al-Islam says, ظاهره في باطنه وباطنه في ظاهره. Right? That means his external is in his core, and his core is in his external manifestation. That means there is no boundary between what we would call the external and the internal. As far as Allah is concerned, his external is his internal and his internal is his external. There is no dividing line. Again, meaning that there is no way you can confine anything about Allah. You cannot say, okay, this is the essence of God. Right? By just it being a pure act of mercy. No, you cannot say this is essence of God. No, it's not like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond that. Then, in this very khutbah again, I take you to this particular sayyid. مَعَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَا بِمُقَارَنَا وَغَيْرُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَا بِمُزَيْلٍ. He is with everything such that he is not comparable to anything. Yet he is away from everything, not that he is away as in separate from it. Now here, try and understand this, please, because this is such a beautiful concept. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with everything, yet he is not with everything. Not as he is in isolated or separated, nor is he part of the thing by being with everything. Right? Ma'mun al-Rashid, who was having a gathering, and of course, he and his people, the eighth Imam scholar, and Imran al-Sabi was somebody who wanted to provoke the Imam, so he stood up and asked the Imam a question. He said, this Allah that you're describing, أَهُوَ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَمِ الْخَلْقُ فِيهُ? Because of this particular verse. of Imam Ali Islam, this khutbah that says that Allah is with everything, yet He is not part of everything, nor is He isolated from everything, that He is separate from everything. Right? So, this person, Imran al-Sabi, asks Imam Rada alayhi salam, Ibn Rasulullah, Allahu fil khalqi am al khalqu fillah? Is Allah part of creation or creation is part of Allah? When you say He is with everything and everything is with Him, right? How do you explain this? And Imam Rada alayhi salam stood up and told him and said, Ya Imran, I am going to teach you a lesson, listen properly. He says, have you ever seen yourself in a mirror? He says, yes. He says, who is that you see? Is it you or is you it? Is that you or is you that? Neither are you that reflection nor is the reflection you. Yet you say that reflection is you? That is just a virtual projection. And mind you, in Arabic the word used is tajalli. Jalal je vapre shabda khudan, tajalli. Tajalli means projection. To be able to project. Right? Not, I mean, I'm not talking about the mathematical projection now. Project literally means to be able to, what's the best word? Project. Astral kind of projection. Virtual. The virtual image reflection in the mirror is nothing but a projection of our image. Yet it is not us.
Is that the only answer you have given?
No, that's not. Again, I explain, Ama Ayatollah Tabatabai Nipa, Sayyid Kamal Haidari explains very clearly, please understand that is not the perfect example. It is the nearest one that can help us understand what kind of concept we are talking about. Like when we say laisa kamithlihi shay, there is nothing like him, we are taking assistance or we are seeking assistance from these concepts to be able to understand what kind of tawheed are we talking of here. And then the example that this teacher gives, Sayyid Kamal Haidari, he says it's just like also a shadow. When you have a shadow, the shadow will be exact dimensions of the object, depending of course on the angle of light, but if it's overhead, it's exact. If you move the object, the shadow changes and so on. But perhaps the best example was that of Imam Rada Al Islam, when he says that this image that you see behind the mirror is neither you, yet you say it is you. But you do exactly what you are doing, yet it is not you. Similarly, when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present with us, we do not mean that it is Allah physically who is present in us. We simply mean that whatever we do are a reflection or a projection of what He stands for.
Could it not also mean when we say Allah is with us, that means He is aware of every aspect of
that
us?
That is just one thing. Aware is just one of His attributes. The fact that He can see, the fact that He owns, He possesses, the fact that He controls. Right? So many other attributes of Allah are other things. Aware is part of His knowledge. That He knows exactly what I am doing, whether it is public or private, that is just one. At the same time, not to forget that every action I make, every movement I make is by the power that He has given me. Had He wished or should He wish now, this power can cease, can stop.
I will make you like me. Obviously, there is a limit to how much liking. Can I call it the kun fayakun power? The kun fayakun is an infinite power.
Kun fayakun is only qudra.
Just in qudra.
Qudra, right?
What
is the qudra? You see, sifat of Allah are divided into two main parts: sifat dhatiya, sifat ardiya. Sifat dhatiya are inherently in Him, describing Him, like al-hayy, life, right? As-sami' al-basir, these are inherent, dhatiya. Sifat ardiya are actions and consequences. Like Khaliq, Razak, Muhi, Mumit, who gives life, who gives up. This means that these things happen by his command, which he is in power. He is in total control.
These are things that he was not always.
He was not always.
He was not always these things. But he didn't learn.
He has the power to do these things.
He was not always
being. When he gives, he always has the power. When he gives to a human being, he gives these powers. I say something like ilm, for example. Ilm, knowledge. Right? The best of all creatures is our Holy Prophet. Chegwena Jordan? Nobody. Right? And even he does not reach to that level of knowledge that Allah has. Because Allah has infinite knowledge. The Holy Prophet had finite knowledge. So when it comes to sifat dhatiyya, those that are inherently him, right? No one of his creature can ever get to that. But when it comes to ardiyya, which means that that's had a beginning point, started from him, he is in power, he is in control, is those that he can give out to people. And he says, you come closer to me, I will make you like me in these things. When it comes to hay, when it comes to basami', basir, alim, these are latiya, you know, coincidence. Right, having understood this about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we look at Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. This ayat al-Kursi ma la ilaha illa hu Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. Illa to Al-Hayy. Al-Hayy means alive, literally. Something that has life is called Al-Hayy. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alive, we all know, but is the description of alive the way we understand? What do we understand by life? See, there are two kinds of life, or rather there are many kinds of life. Pehla to Quran ni andar jare hayat ni baat kare chahiye, right? When the Quran talks about hayat, that is life, it talks about the life of earth when it gains life after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends water. فَيُحْيِي بِهِ الْأَرْضِ. So Allah gains, the earth gains life, gets life, yeah? That kind of life Allah talks. Allah also talks of life in this world and life in the hereafter. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مُتَاعٌ. So he talks of the life in this world, compares it to the life of the hereafter. He talks of in the Holy Quran that the life of the hereafter, the hiyal hayawan, that is the true essence of life. He talks about these things. But what about this hay that he's talking about Allah? Is it anywhere resembling what Allah has talked about life in the Holy Quran in relation to us? It is not. For the simple reason is that whilst we talk of any other form of life, we are talking of a kind of life that is dependent on something that gives it life. Whereas when we talk about life vis-a-vis Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means He is inherently alive and gives others life. Gives life to others. Creates life in others. So when we say Al-Hayy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not alive as we understand. Alive as in He is inherently alive with the power to give and create life in other creations. That is Al-Hayy. So when we talk of Al-Hayy, who Al-Hayy, we are talking of not just any other being that is alive, the way we understand it. Right? And the relationship that you see between Hayy, Qayyum, and Sinatu wa Lanaw. You see, when it comes to ordinary life, in human beings or in living things, you find that death is the final stage, but if you want two resemblances in weakness of death, you find sleep and before sleep, drowsiness. Drowsiness, sleep, and then death. Drowsiness reduces activity of life. Sleep further reduces it. Death reduces it to zero. That is why the three things have been mentioned. That to negate everything as far as this life is concerned. The word Qayyum that we will look at later, but one meaning of Qayyum is also that he gives life, creates life in others. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ The weakest form of inactivity in life.
When I was studying this thing, the one thing that confused me, I didn't have access to, I didn't look at the tafsir, but the contextual sentence should be the maximum thing first and then the minimum. So you say, for example, Gujarati. Right? So we say he was so alert, Nindar to Dodi Matsyene, Jolo Enotwai. Other way around. Right, just like a sleep does not overtake him, not even slumber. But other way around.
Once you say slumber doesn't overtake him, of course sleep doesn't.
Yeah? Huh. I was thinking about the tens or order. No, slumber is drowsing. But generally slumber is...
Slumber is more than...
No. Not in this way.
لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ should be more, let's say, eloquent, if it had been written, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ نَوْمٌ وَلَا سِنَةٌ
not only eloquent, but usual way. So, here, we, first of all, am I correct in thinking that slumber, and slumber is not quite sleep yet, correct?
No, yes, correct.
Right. Okay. If that's the case, you understand what I'm saying? Okay, one would normally say, he doesn't get sleep, not even drowsiness.
When you say, well, you could say,
no, come
here. Yeah,
suppose I want to make a case in point about you being alert. I said, this guy, he doesn't sleep. No. He doesn't even slumber, let alone sleep.
If you take another example, you say, this. No, if you give it this way.
No, you say he doesn't even sleep, let alone sleep. He doesn't even slumber, let alone sleep.
No, that's because we made the negative, the sentence is negative. It's because
that's what
go.
Come back again. Negative, yeah? لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ If I tell you the translation is very important, the way you translate it.
Well, actually, the other thing that is problematic for me, not that I just haven't read about it, that's all. Why both words?
Why what?
Both words, instead of just one.
Both words.
Why did you just say,
that I have no.
Norm johat is norm is in slumber was the word to use. Because norm jo use kar raha to what it means is sweetat jata, but he might doze off. He might get tired or whatever, right? No, but I thought he would use the word ke he doesn't even
tire
now. That would automatically exclude sleep.
You see, don't understand. But you see, you got to understand the use of slumber and sleep is used to make sure that we understand that life with full activity, right? Other living things have that kind of stages of inactivity before it gets down to zero where death comes in. Right? Then these stages are slumber, sleep and death. So in relation to that, that is why it adds to that explanation.
In contrast to high. So then what is in contrast to Fayyum then?
Why is only high contrasted?
Or easy contrast.
Maybe you tafsir chakajaka, it is a reply to the Christian.
These are you got to understand, asbab al nuzul have their own significance.
Yeah.
Right?
And it goes on to say that
it's an answer to the Christians. They cannot take Buddha Jason and rest kind of stuff on this.
છ દિવસ બનાવ્યો થાકી ગયા પછી રેસ્ટ કર્યો એના જવાબમાં આ હતા એવું કહીને રેસ્ટ કરવાની જરૂર નથી
પડી. I understand કે અસબાબ-ઉલ-નુઝુલ are reasons for revelation. કે ક્યારે રિવીલ થયું હતું, શા માટે રિવીલ થયું, right? In response to a situation, in reply to an event, whatever it is, right? અસબાબ-ઉલ-નુઝુલ have their own significance related to the verse. But the verses mean are not confined to only one interpretation. This is the miracle. Right? So this kind of understanding the verse is totally different from trying to understand or confine it just to that reason of revelation. It may be true. I haven't read it. I've seen Nizam Manadiya, this particular bit. What I'm saying is it may be true, right? But at the same time, this different angle of understanding it provides more material. Right. Now the question is, what is our life compared to his life?
So if we come back, there's no answer to the reason between slumber and sleep.
No.
The order.
Unless, if I find it elsewhere, I'll explain it. I can't find
it.
No,
you
have to point out.
There's not sleep, let alone slumber.
No, okay, let's put it this way. You can say, this cup is not worth a pound, not even a penny. If I said to you, it's not worth a penny, not even a pound, you say, what's this guy talking about? If it's not worth a penny, the pound doesn't even come into it.
We're adding all these things like even and let alone.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that in Arabic, we'll look translating, that's what it says.
Does it say let alone?
No, if it says Allah does not slumber, of course then he's not going to sleep. Of course then he's not going to sleep.
Yeah.
The bigger one comes first. Pujan, I will answer you that question next week if you don't mind. Right? Is that okay? Anshu Karish, is that okay?
Which?
You say okay, you say okay.
All I know is when I looked at it in depth,
I was confused. So when you talk about existence, are you talking about that our existence is possible and God's existence is
necessary? Huh?
Yeah. Ours is a possible existence.
Possible existence.
Yeah. And his is
essentially existence. Wajib al-wujud.
Yeah.
Mumkin
al-wujud. No, our life. Our life is possible. His life is essential.
Essential. We can exist, not exist. Mm-hmm.
I mean, in fact, this doesn't say he is alive. It says he is life.
Al Hayy.
You got to understand. Alif Lam Jar Arabic Ma'ayshin. Al Hayy Al Qayyum. Right. It means confining it to him only. There is no other Al Hayy. When I say al-rajul al-hay, right, then I'm saying the alive man. So I'm describing the man. That al is different. But when I say al-hay, only al-hay, then I'm saying the only entity alive. Al-qayyum, without having what it is called in Arabic is hasr. Hasr means you are now confining al-qaymuma or al-hayy only to him. He is the only entity alive. Okay, what does the Quran say about us? Are we alive or dead?
No, but this is, I think, if you move that, if you say he's the only entity, that even beyond that, you can say, this actually doesn't say he is alive, it says he is
he's life.
The question of being alive doesn't even arise. He is life. We are alive. He is not alive. He is
but
alive.
How do you see, he is life would be Hayat. He is al-Hayat. You understand? In Arabic, if you're talking of life, it is Hayat. Right? But anything that has...
Al-Hayy means the one alive.
The one, the only alive.
Yeah, but not life.
Not life. Life, Hayat itself is a concept.
Hayat, yes. That's the first. It's not life. He's not life. He is the living one.
The living one. Right? Aapne baki na badhe chine, Quran no sunne chine. What does the Quran say? The Quran says, innaka mayti wa innahu. What does that mean? إِنَّكَ مَيْتُ وَإِنَّهُ مَيْتُن. That means you are a mayit and they are also.
This is you called Peygamber.
The Peygamber.
Mayit meaning devoid of
that. That is the question.
Obviously Hay has many meanings in Shiva.
Like mayit has many meanings. Mayat does not mean just lifeless. Mayat innaka mayatu wa innahum mayatun is actually in reference to him. Ajay, what are you compared? I mean, all creatures put together. Suddenly these people who you convey Islam to, the Holy Prophet, you convey Islam to us, suddenly making so many demands, we want this and this, and why did the Prophet not come like this, and why didn't we have a message sent to us in this manner? What is this? As far as my life and status is concerned, you are nothing. Innaka mayyitun.
We talked about it and we said in context of the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said one place, if I wanted to I could replace you all.
Yeah.
If I wanted to I could replace you all and bring, and then we extended to say that maybe we have been replaced.
That's right.
Remember? We said maybe we have been replaced yesterday night with,
how will we know?
With intact memories of our past, right? And we think we have been here a long, long time. We've been alive for just hours.
No, but he has replaced people, hasn't he? Just, how many nations has he just replaced over time?
You know, he threatens into the Ummah of the Prophet. I can replace you if I want.
Didn't he give an example, as I have the people before? Okay.
There is an interesting by Hakim Sabzwari. Hakim Sabzwari is a philosopher. And he says when a human being sleeps, he comes to what is called vegetable life. Currently there are only two systems that are working in him, the respiratory system and the digestive system. And that is why life in philosophy is described as anything that can sense and will. Histories. Idrak walirada. Idrak is to sense, to realize. Anything that can sense and will. These two are lawazim al-hayat. Lawazim al-lasun. You see, sometimes you describe something by itself. Sometimes you cannot describe that thing by itself except by using what happens or what it does, by an action. For example, if you were to describe fire, how would you describe fire? Something that burns. That means you are using an action, a direct consequence of that thing to describe it. And that's how we describe many concepts, not only Allah. to describe many concepts, like life, death, and so on, right? So life is described in the... Life cannot be described by itself. What is it? Therefore, life, the definition of life, is that anything that can sense and will is said to have life.
And anything that has a consciousness.
A plant can sense and will through a code written into its instinctive sort of like cellular behavior, right? But it does not have consciousness. It does not consciously will.
Conscious is different. Conscious is a higher state of life. You see, when you say will and sense and will, right? These two things are available in all forms of life. But in other forms of life, there are extra, thus making them superior over others, until you get to the Ashraful Makhluqa.
For that, for Atma Kesha, we give you death in the night, so we take your souls away in the night.
Allah yatawaffa al-anfus.
He takes the soul away, and those that are destined to live, He returns them. Those who are not destined to die,
go back.
Go back. And basically, is he taken his definition from that?
Oh, I don't know. This is going back Hakim Sajjari's time. We're talking at 300-400 years. And that is definition understood principle in philosophy.
He's taking his definition from the Quran, maybe.
There's something very interesting I heard about that. Souls lay yet.
Obviously, they attain some. They are out of your body, so they attain to a more purified stage. They go to a slightly more purified place than they normally are at. Right? They are not in such close proximity to your body, so Allah takes them to Himself. So therefore, the best time to really be spiritual or to have a spiritual high is when you wake up. You get up in the morning, once you are actually physically awake and you manage to will yourself up, you can do a lot of, you feel spiritually charged at that time, much more than any other time in the day. And that is the time you should use to actually think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that's it.
Is it the same for very late
at
night as before
it starts? At that time you've had the soul in your body all day long.
Yeah, I mean that's when it started going.
Who says the higher place?
I mean, because Allah says He takes it to Himself.
Does He say it to Himself or just out of this plane?
No, what is the ayat? What is the ayat? Allah takes them to Himself. Can what is the ayat?
Allah yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtiha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha.
But doesn't mean it's a pure place, does it?
No. That's why I know. I had and said, no, that does not necessarily mean that it goes to your state. It just means that Allah takes over their souls. Could be, okay, for a believer it goes to a greater place, for a non-believer it goes to a place that we don't know.
Dreams, nightmares, do they have any significance or is that not really...
We come to Qayyum. What is Qayyum? What is the meaning of Qayyum? What's the English word used for Qayyum?
Self-subsisting.
Huh?
Self-subsisting.
The sustainer of all things.
Sustainer of things. Self-subsisting. What does that mean?
Subsistence. Those things that you need to live. Subsistence. Right?
Self-subsistence. Khuda self-subsistence.
He is self-sufficient.
Qayyum doesn't mean that. You know what Qayyum means?
Qayyum
means He controls everything.
Qayyum means He is there all the time.
Doesn't Al-Hayy means that He makes Himself live, and Qayyum means He makes you live.
Yeah, there is that sense. You see, by this, in this Al-Hayy means he is alive and gives life to others. Right? Al-Qayyum means that he has created everything and everything is in under his control, under his supervision. You know, if you heard Qayyim bil-A'mal, right? If I am, say, a teacher in this class, I go away, anybody who comes and sits in this chair, he is now called Al-Qayyim bil-A'mal. That means he is a substitute. Right? But what he is doing is, he is taking care of the functions that I was taking care of. It's called Al-Qayyim. Qayyum no matlab suta hai shay. Try and understand this, please. Allah, when we say He is Qayyum, means that after He has created a system in which we are living in, He does not just sit back. After having created the system, He is monitoring the system and supervising it.
Without Him, that system would not exist itself.
You mentioned that, well, how do you mention
that?
That's as it will explain many other elements of the absolute world. He is the first and the last.
So, Qayyum is somebody, right? Is that relative form, okay, where superlative form, not relative form, superlative form, where somebody who is taking care of something, right? And Allah is taking care of what He has created. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. By taking care of that thing, neither does He go into a slumber nor into it. Right? Yeah, Rakham, your choice is Allah, day in, day out.
Is that why the end says that that doesn't tie Him up? Is that why He has used that? And this doesn't tire me out. Last part of the verse, what is it?
لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم.
No, سأو چلے شيء.
هو العلي العظيم.
أنا بلا.
من ذا الذي يشفع عنده؟
ولا يؤوده حفظهما.
حفظهما السماوات والأرض.
يؤوده إلى تاجي.
يؤوده إلى تاجي. Yeah. It does not strain.
That's the preservation of the both.
Not to do with the human.
Amal. You see, if you interlink everything, you will understand the whole picture. Okay, what Allah is trying to say. Okay, not only is He alive, gives life to everything, but He is also taking care of everything and He never tires. That's the whole general message. But he just system is in him. The system is in him, right? But right now, we are looking at Al-Qayyum. The beauty is that in Al-Qayyum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to prove two things. One, that He is the only Qayyum, and two, that He is Qayyum. Abhi samajh ho jaiye. Allah Qayyum che ne, Qayyum jaye karo hai to Allah che jo koi nahi. That's the message that Allah is giving. Right? Al-hasr hasran. When it comes to sustaining, it is only Allah, and Allah is the sustainer. These are the two messages that you get from this. Al-Qayyum says it is Allah who is the sustainer, and La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm says that when it comes to sustaining, it is only Allah who can do it, because He does not tire of sustaining.
In what context is Imam Mahdi called Al-Qayyum? Or that's a different word?
Al-Qayyum, in a different term meaning here. Al-Qayyum, that will be right.
Al-Qiyamati. But not this one.
Al-Qayyum.
Totally different.
Which has a similar meaning to stand over it. As in power over it, control over it.
So what's the guy who sits in the chair? What do you call him?
No, that one is a substitute. Qayyum bil-A'mal.
So that's not the same Qayyum as this guy? No.
Qayyum bil-A'mal.
It's not the same word though, isn't it?
It's the same word. It's the same word. But it doesn't have the same meaning. You see, semantics in yandar, there are different levels of semantics, right? Qayyim bil amal, any jagay omoshi. That's what it means, literally, right? It doesn't mean ki each karachi.
The actual root word means standing.
Qam.
Standing, like qiyaman.
Qiyam means from qam. Right. Now, if you remember, I had told you earlier, when it comes to Allah, he has two kinds of attributes. One is sifat zatiya, sifat ardiya. Sifat zatiya are those that are inherently him, like alim, hay, sami', basir. These are inherently him. And the other ones are ardiya. That means these are his actions, his, you know, like he creates, he gives sustenance, he gives life, he gives death, and so on. Al-Hay is the mother of all, the mother, you take the Arabic, Umm al-Sifat, the mother of all attributes that are Zatiya. When under Hay you look at Alim, right, you look at Sami'a, Basir, you find all of these come under the umbrella of one. The last time we discussed this, okay, one name can take in four more, and so on, right? Similarly, Al-Qayyum is the mother, the chief of all names that are Sifat Arabiya. If you look at Muhyi, Mumit, Razib, Khalid, these are all under the umbrella of Al-Qayyum. That is why Allah has used these two names, Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum, which encompasses all his attributes, Sifat Zatiya, Sifat Abdiya.
These 100 names of Allah, has somebody made or compiled a tree? No.
You would find each one, you know, you would find some of them overlapping over each other, but then ultimately you'll get a tree.
But nobody's ever tried to even make one. That'd be interesting if somebody tried. I mean, I don't know if we
I think it's an exercise, we can sit and try and do.
The words have so many meanings though, don't they? Shades of meaning and all that.
You see, Al-Hafiz, for example, Al-Hafiz is a protector. That comes under Qayyum. Al-Alim, we just said, okay, life is described with sense and will. Sense is to love, to know. And therefore it goes back to life.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good to make a tree.
It would be. Right. So much for Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. Hey. In Apache. In Apache, what is
it?
لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Welcome to وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ. I'm not just taking the death. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Right? Abe are a pair of statements. They are interrelated. And we look at the relationship right now. The Ena Pachi يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا من شاء. This له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض goes to his power. When he has to sustain, what does he have to sustain? Everything that is there on the earth and the skies. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Now that includes the system in which we live in. That the system of cause and effect that we are living in.
لَهُ here, what does لَا mean? Belonging to him or under his control?
لَهُ إِلَّا total control.
Control.
His, possess, milk. Any milk. Whatever is on the skies and the earth is his. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. This shafa'a that he's talking of, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ, is not the shafa'a of the Day of Judgment. Huh? مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. That means, who can ask for disruption in the system that he has created? Except with his permission. That is why in every miracle that took place, when Prophet Isa was saying, says, I can create a mold of a bird and then blow, and then it will take life and fly. Bi-idnihi, I can give life to dead people. Bi-idnihi, because these are disruptions of the system in which Allah has created us. These are not ordinary behavior. This is abnormal behavior. And therefore, that can only happen with permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man zalladhi, who is, right? Who can disrupt that system in which he has created, which he is sustaining, qayyumji. He is making sure that the system is running smoothly. He is making sure that the system goes on forever. Who is it who can change the system except with his permission? مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. And when it comes to ilm, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Right? He knows, now this is his knowledge. That one was his power, his control. Now his knowledge, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. خَلْفَهُمْ means what they have left behind. The consequences of their actions. Not the past, the future. This is the interesting part. When I say I leave behind me khalf, right? That means those are consequences of my deeds and my actions. That would mean that when I am doing the action, do I know what I am going to leave behind? I don't. What I am going to leave behind is actually the future. Right? So يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. What is going to come behind them, that means the future. What they are going to leave behind, that is the future.
And the first part, what is before them?
The present.
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 The future is future. وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ جَيْشِ is future. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. That means he knows what they are doing right now and what they will leave behind, that means the future. Because while they are doing it, they don't know what they are going to leave behind. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. And referring to that future, they will not have a clue as to what they are going to leave behind, except what he wishes. If he wishes, he can grant people that vision, that knowledge, okay, this is what is going to happen after you go, after you leave behind, after you do this action.
And only the affirmation that intercession is allowed with God, but only those who are authorized. This, I think, is talking about very clearly about the children.
Yes.
But you said that's not what this is about.
This is another tafsir. I mean, the first way of looking at shafa'at is only referring to shafa'at of the day of judgment, intercession. And there, we know that when it comes to Shafa'at of the Day of Judgment, we have done that. The Shafa'at of the Day of Judgment is Fatim Ma'asmeen alayhi salam. But here, we're looking at the system. We're talking of sustenance. Allah sustains the system that He has created in. Who will intercede to interrupt that system, disrupt the system?
Except system of reward and punishment anyway.
Yes,
there is a system of reward and punishment, so the intercessors will intercede on the day of Qiyamah in the same way.
Let's forget the day of judgment. Let's talk about this world. There is a system of reward and punishment in this world as well. There are some sins by which you get punished on this earth. There are some good deeds for which you will be rewarded on this earth, right? However, Allah has created a system in which if you perform this sin, then you will get punished on this earth, right? That is the system. Who will intercede, or what will intercede? Mind you, the man should not confuse us that it means only who, it can be what. Right? It can be what. Because what can intercede to save us from the punishment of Allah if once we have performed the sin that is tantamount to punishment from Allah on this earth? What can save us? Istighfar can save us. Tawbah can save us.
This is narrowing this.
Only he has it.
But this thing, this ayat has nothing, not that much to do with forgiveness and sins and.
No. I'm just giving an example. The system is far, far beyond what. This is just one example of that system that he has created, in which there is action and reward. Right? Reward and punishment. Just an example. So, man is not only referring to somebody. It can be referring to some action, something. What Allah is trying to establish here, that system in which He has created everything around us can only be disrupted if He allows it.
What does the word akhar mean?
Akhar
means what you will do in the future.
مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْكُمْ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. What you will leave behind.
تَقَدَّمَ
إِلَىٰ أَخَرَ. What you keep, what you do. Surat al-Fath.
It's a topic for another day, because it talks about the whole meaning of istighfar, which I always thought was to ask forgiveness. But the way our Abu has explained, he said istighfar doesn't mean forgiveness. Because it's a confusing ayat. If istighfar means forgiveness, the Surah Fatha ayat means really that, O Prophet, because of your actions, we are going to forgive your past sins and your future ones. That becomes like Jesus dying on this cross for the sins of mankind for all time, right? Which is the whole idea of the Catholicism, and there's a bit about absolving people. Okay, Jesus has already died for your sins. Now you do what you like, I absolve you. So I for the Kalujake inna fatahna ka fathan mubina liyaghfir laka Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhara. Right? Allah is going to forgive what you have done in the past and what you're going to do in the future. So I just want you to know what here it meant, taqaddama min ta'akhkhara. Okay? According to Arapuya, istighfar means protection from sin.
Like he says, it's a cover. By now, you should realize that dhanb is more than just a sin. Right? Dhanb can be like when we talk of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Fa'asa rabbah. Waha. Right? So, what? Wasn't he a masoom? That means that. Anya ji istighfar ne dhamb ni jawab thai she paghambar saate. It has got nothing to do the way we understand of istighfar and dhamb. It's got to do something, that Allah is protecting your mind, correcting, right? Whatever tiniest of errors that relative to Him, His relationship to Allah, is considered a dhamb. Not the dhamb that I understand. That has been constantly the style in which Ayatollah Tabatabai has been trying to explain. For every concept you pick up, there is the hierarchy of semantics. Right? When you talk of a mistake, you talk of guidance, you talk of reward, you talk of Jannah, you talk of Jahannam, you talk of life, you talk of taqwa, you talk of so many concepts. There is that hierarchy. Where you cannot say that when I say Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim and the Holy Prophet says Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, are we talking in the same language? We can't be. His Sirat al-Mustaqim must be something very different from mine. So whilst I want to just get to the bottomest of the bottom rung of that ladder, he is probably asking for something else. But we both call it Sirat al-Mustaqim. And that is where the explanation of Dhamb for the Holy Prophet comes in. So So whilst dhamb and istighfar are the same terms used,
Ayatina, he has sidestepped that issue. What he has done is he has changed the word istighfar totally to mean something else.
Whereas, in this tafsir particularly, as Sayyidina Ahmad Ali and Mirza Abhiya, you will not find these kind of concepts explained. You will not find them. You will only find these concepts explained in people who are Ashab Irfan. People like Ayatollah Khomeini, Baba Tabai, Ayatollah Khwaib to some degree. And it makes a lot of sense. The only way we can understand and tally between conflicting ahadith. So when you get these kinds of ahadith that tell you that the Imam was doing this and the Prophet was doing this, and you say, now how could the Prophet do that? The only explanation comes by he is not the same as what we do. They are in a different level. A different plane, a different world.
But at the same time also you have to keep in mind that they are also
role models for us. So they must be able to, in a sense, be living under the same constraints we are. So that we can aspire to be like them.
We don't want to make supernatural things.
That's what we are accused of, Shias. Okay? We have made these personalities into supernatural beings.
But if you look at the rational process through which a person can go through, I was talking about this only on Friday, the spirituality of it. It's only the spiritual aspect once we understand. That we can understand that we can rise beyond the level that we are now stagnant at. We can rise beyond it. We can get to that, those levels of those scholars who attained so much and who could do miracles. Scholars, not companions. Scholars. Scholars, I'm not talking of scholars 1,000 years ago, we're talking of scholars 100 years ago. They could perform miracles. You want to forget scholars, look at people who are Sufis. But they could accomplish feats. Right? History is full of those examples. Some were not even rich. That means that power is the power of spirituality per se. Coupled with faith on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is some kind of holy tiredness,
I was trying to explain what you said about Ayatul Kursi, and I think I got the last explanation. What you said was that Ayatul Kursi is really only one ayat, right? But why? That part I remember. I don't remember was how we consigned the fact that we share three. I forgot what you said about that.
Ayatul Kursi is actually one ayat only. At least much 50 words form Ayatul Kursi. But wherever we have been asked to recite Ayatul Kursi in Hadith, like we have been asked to recite the two verses together.
Just ask. Just
recommended. The Khalidun Sibar. So when it comes to every time Ayatul Kursi, Ame Parol Riyam Aave, Yare Sati Piyam Aave, Ayatul Kursi, Sati Jabe verse Khalidun Sibar.
Is there some hadith that actually says something more than just says, please pray? Is there saying this is the quality of it, or there's something?
No. It just says when you recite Ayatul Kursi first, these two verses. Ayatul Kursi, Shia and Sunni authorities all alike say it is just this one verse. The very name gives it. Ayat. It's one.
It's a self-contained ayat in that sense, isn't it? La ikraha fid din is not linked tafsir-wise with it.
Tafsir-wise, it is linked to some extent, but it goes on to another stage. Ayat, Tawheed,
ayat
Allah.
The plural is what?
Yeah. Ayat.
was the ayah?
Science. Ayah of the verse, science. Ayah of the science. Right. With that, we come to the end of this session.